because it's kind of one story in the life of Jeremiah. So it's not necessarily a prophecy this time as much as an event that occurred in his life as the captivity finalized under Nebuchadnezzar. And in the midst of all of that, we have a great lesson on trusting God. So starting in verse 1, "And King Zedekiah the son of Josiah reigned instead of Kaniah the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah." So we're not going to read through all of it initially, but as you can see here, this was the main issue. This was the core problem, was Israel was not interested in hearing from God or in obeying God's word. So tonight we talk about trust, and God will show us what happens when we put our trust and faith in Him. So let's pray. Lord, pray for your wisdom tonight, for your presence, for your help. Lord, you'll use your word tonight in our lives to just teach us, Lord, and conform us. And may this story from the life of Jeremiah truly be an help to us. We pray you'll meet with us now. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we can see the issue, and we've seen it over and over again here in Jeremiah, was disobedience, a disregard for the word of God. And notice it says, neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land, nobody. Not the king, not his servants, not the people. They wouldn't listen to what Jeremiah had to say. And so after all of that, verse 3, it says, Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. So even though they're living in disobedience, they hear Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and they send, he doesn't go himself, the king, he sends some of his servants to Jeremiah saying, pray for us. The world's kind of like that, aren't they? They don't want to hear about God. Then they get into an intense trial and they're like, could you pray for me? So here's the same thing. Zedekiah wasn't leading the people to obey God. The people weren't obeying God. But now Nebuchadnezzar's on his way to take the city, and they send to Jeremiah and saying, can you pray for us? So verse 4, Jeremiah came in and went among the people, for they had not put him into prison. And Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So the Egyptians were going to come and take Jerusalem. And they heard that Nebuchadnezzar was coming, the Chaldeans. And so they changed their mind. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. So you sent these guys to ask Jeremiah to pray. Here's your answer. Nebuchadnezzar's going to burn the city. It's not very good news, is it? So we'll jump down to verse 17. It says, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. This is after Jeremiah had been put into prison. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. So is there any word from God? Yep, you're going to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. That's the word from the Lord. Pretty sad, isn't it? So that takes us to chapter 38. This long list of people in verse 1. They heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. So we got the king secretly asking for prayer and secretly asking for a word from God. Then we have the princes saying, we're tired of hearing Jeremiah give these prophecies that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and take our city. They saw it as almost like a rebellion or whatever. And they said it makes it hard for the army that's left to fight. So we want you, king, to put him to death. For what? For prophesying from God. Verse 5, then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he's in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. Well, that's a load of rubbish. He's the king. But he's also a bit of a wimp, as you can see. He won't take a stand. And even when the princes say, we want to put Jeremiah to death, he says, well, you guys just do whatever you want to do because I can't stop you. I'm just the king. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, and that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Remember, Jeremiah was told early on that he was going to have to suffer for telling the truth. And so they didn't kill him, but they did drop him down into a dungeon that just had a bunch of muck and mud in it and let him just basically stand there in the mud. So here's where something good finally happened. So far it's been pretty depressing story. So this, when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil, and all that they've done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So now all of a sudden the king has authority to round up 30 men to rescue Jeremiah after he just told the princes, I can't do anything. If you want to kill him, kill him. They put him in the dungeon. Then this unknown guy, one of the eunuchs, says to the king, this is wrong. We shouldn't be treating God's prophet this way. And then the king gives a permission to go and rescue Jeremiah from the mire. Remember what God said to Jeremiah way back in the beginning. Let's go back there to chapter 1. And this is an example of one of those times, because it looks pretty dire. He was already in prison in chapter 37, which we didn't read the whole passage, but he went into prison. Then he came out of the prison, and then they put him in this dungeon, with just in the mire, where he would have died of starvation. And now this guy rescues him, this Ebed-Melech. But notice chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God told him early on that he would rescue him and protect him. And then on down in chapter 1, verse 18, for behold, I've made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am the Lord, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So early on in his ministry, God says to Jeremiah, it's you against everybody, basically. But it's you and me against everybody. Amen. And that's the same for us. God and us make a majority. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? And Jeremiah knew this. And he just trusted God. So he's been in prison now. He's been in this dungeon. Separate prison, a dungeon spot, and this Ebed-Melech goes to the king and gets permission to pull him out. So in verses 11, 12, 13, they literally make like a rope and he puts it under his arms and they lift him back out of the mire. So here's this wimpy king again, verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Well, he's already given the prince's permission to kill him. He's already asked him for prayer, already asked him for a word from the Lord. And Jeremiah told him straight out what was going to happen. And so Ebed-Melech rescues him from the mire and he says, can I ask you again? Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? And so Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, that made us this so, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into hand of the men that seek thy life. So one more time he says, Jeremiah, I need to hear from God. Verse 17, then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Now, this isn't the typical word that God gave, is it? When you look at Israel's past, when they came to God and asked for help, God would usually say, I'll defend the city, I'll help you fight. But in this case, God's saying it's too late. He's been saying it for years through Jeremiah, and now he's saying it can't be undone. Nebuchadnezzar will take the city. Zedekiah, here's God's answer to you. If you want to live, you have to surrender. Well, no king wants to hear that. They don't want to hear that the only way to survive is to basically surrender the city and let Nebuchadnezzar destroy it. But that's exactly what God said. The only way you're going to survive properly, if you will, is if you surrender when Nebuchadnezzar comes. So pretty clear. Verse 19, then Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. He says, so I hear what God's saying, but if I do surrender, then all the Jews that have already surrendered, they're going to kill me. This guy's a bit of a whiner. Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. So if I took a poll right now, who thinks Zedekiah is going to obey and who thinks he's not? Most of you would raise your hand and say he's probably not going to obey, huh? You were right. Verse 24, Zedekiah said unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. I remember I told you Jeremiah was the prophet pre and post Nebuchadnezzar captivity. We're seeing that take place here. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar's already been coming and taking people away in droves, but this is the final, he's going to knock the city flat and burn it with fire. Verse 39, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all of his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year, Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even this long list of names, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. So this was their way of saying, here's your opportunity to surrender. So Nebuchadnezzar's princes came and sat in the gate and waited, and basically gave the princes of Jerusalem an opportunity to come out and say, we surrender. And then they would have probably had some terms. But, verse 4, here's the answer that shows you would have won the poll. Verse 4, it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. So God's instructions were pretty clear, weren't they? If you want to live, you want to finish your days in peace, you have to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar comes, the princes sit in the gate. Rather than kill everybody, they say, let's talk. Zedekiah didn't listen to Jeremiah's advice, or command, I should say. Instead, he snuck out of the city, thinking that he was going to get away with it. But with God, you don't get away with things, do you? Jonah tried that too, didn't he? God said, go this way. Jonah said, I'm going to go this way and I'm going to get away with it. Zedekiah says, I know what God said, but I'm going to sneak out. I'm not going to fight, but I'm going to sneak out the back way. Verse 5, but the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. This is the Zedekiah we've been reading about for 2.5 chapters. The advice was clear, the command was clear, and he disobeyed. Verse 6, then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. So Nebuchadnezzar took Zedekiah and killed his sons while he was watching. And then in verse 7, he took out his eyes. And they killed, Nebuchadnezzar's army killed all the nobles of Jerusalem. Now, if they would have obeyed God, he gave them that one last opportunity to obey. They would have surrendered. They would have lived. But they chose to sneak out the back door, and they all died except for Zedekiah, who got to see his sons killed and then have his eyes taken out. And then they bound him with chains, verse 7, to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire. And here it is, break down the walls of Jerusalem. So it's one thing when you take a city to burn the houses. It's another thing to even burn the king's house, but it's another thing to actually pull the walls down, which Nebuchadnezzar did. But you know what? God told them this is exactly what was going to happen if they didn't obey. And God tells us what will happen if we don't obey. And we can't sneak out the back way and get away with it. So Nebuzaradan, this is the captain of the guard, so it's not Nebuchadnezzar, it's his general, if you will, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So they took most of the people captive. They took all the poorest people that were left, and they left them behind to keep the weeds out of the gardens, if you will. Verse 11, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. So now he's killed all the nobles. He's taken out Zedekiah's eyes and taken him in chains back to Babylon. They've taken most of the city captive except for the really poor people. But Nebuchadnezzar, the king, probably the greatest king on earth at the time, gives a special commandment concerning one man, Jeremiah. So God is still in control. Amen? And we must remember this. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's an entire army against us. You read what he said to Jeremiah. He said, even if the whole country's against you, I'm on your side. And to go to Isaiah 54:17, God says the same thing to us. If we're in the will of God, he is on our side. We do not need to be afraid. We do not need to fear. And despite the entire city getting razed and burnt and the people being taken captive and the king getting killed, Jeremiah survives. In Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So go back to our passage, Jeremiah 39, verse 12. Here's Nebuchadnezzar's special command for one man out of thousands. One man, Jeremiah. Take him, look well to him, do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. Just don't harm this one man and give him whatever he wants. Isn't that something? So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and then these other people and all the king and the princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, committed him unto the Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home, so he dwelt among the people. So God allowed Jeremiah to dwell among the people and to survive this attack, this besiegement of Jerusalem. And that's kind of the end of that whole story, but it's not really. There's just one more person that God's going to speak to now, which we might have forgotten about. Verse 15. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. So God's going to stop and take time and give a special prophecy for this Ethiopian eunuch. Isn't that something? So go speak to that one man and say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given in the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. So what do we see? We see that just like with loving God, we see that in our actions, like we talked about this morning. Trusting God, we see that in our actions. When we're truly trusting God, we're willing to go forward and do things for Him. And God is saying to Ebed-Melech, you did that one thing. You went to the king. You beseeched the king on behalf of Jeremiah. You rescued him from that mire. And for doing that one thing, God says, because you trusted me, because he was taking his life into his own hands. The king could have just as easily said, kill this guy, Ebed-Melech. And the king had full authority to do that. He was just one of the eunuchs. But instead, the king listened, gave him the 30 men. He rescued Jeremiah from certain death. And then God sends a special prophecy just for this one man. Because you trusted me, I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to bless you. And I believe that God says the same to us. If you go to Psalm 37, we'll look at a couple of examples. That if we will trust Him, and that trust is going to be evidenced in our willingness to step out by faith and our willingness to go forward and accomplish great things for Him. But if we'll trust Him, He will bless and protect us. Notice Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So there's that word trust. Commit your way, but trust, but go forward. Now look on down to verse 39 of the same chapter, Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Look at this last phrase. Because they trust in Him. So God is saying, Ebed-Melech, because you trusted me enough to step forward and rescue my prophet, I'm going to bless you. And God says the same thing to us. Go to Psalm 125. We'll just look at a couple more. But we can take courage from God's protection of Jeremiah, but also God's blessings upon Ebed-Melech for his willingness to trust God and show that trust in his actions. Psalm 125, verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. That's a pretty strong statement. Be as Mount Zion that cannot be moved, but abideth forever. For who? They that trust in the Lord. These great promises to those who trust in the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he what? Trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. We could go on all night. The great promises that God gives to those who will trust him. And we can take encouragement from Ebed-Melech. Just did one thing from his normal routine. He rescued God's prophet. When he did that, he was saying, I'm going to do the right thing. Take my life in my own hands. God says, because you trusted me, I'm going to bless you. And even though most of the people are going to either die or end up captives in Babylon, not you. Because you showed your trust by doing something for my cause. And we can do the same. And if we will, we'll be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. So here I have Jeremiah trusting God in the midst of all this persecution, going to prison, being put in the mire. Just trust God, and God says, I'll protect you. And God, through Nebuchadnezzar, says, all these other people, captives, some of you, death, Jeremiah, give him whatever he wants. And then Ebed-Melech, you get a special prophecy. I'm going to bless and protect you. Why? Because you rescued my man and trusted me when you did it. So what is God telling us? We can go forward and do great things. Just trust him. And when we do, we'll be like Jeremiah. We'll be like Ebed-Melech. God will protect us. And God will bless us and watch over us if we'll just, but as he says to Ebed-Melech, because you put your trust in me. Amen. Let's